Try an MD 2020 for the first time.
I never had no medal.
This is not gonna end well.
Expect it to be like, you know, a good vibe.
If by vibe you mean you're gonna wake up tomorrow morning in the middle of a field with absolutely no recollection of how you got there, then yeah, it's a vibe.
$3.299.
$3 today. Back when we were kids, it was like $1.99. Plus the $5 we had to give to the derelict town creep that was always standing outside the convenience store that went in and bought it for us.
Apparently this was the cool drink in college.
I feel like I'm too young for it.
College? Too young for it? We were like 12 when we drank this stuff. And by 12, I mean the older kids.
Sweet.
It's actually good. It's really, really sweet.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Now that's the smartest thing I've heard all day. Yeah, it's dangerous. And it's sweet going down, but it's a nightmare coming back up. Ugh. I can still taste it. Who else remembers? And was Boone Farms any better?
The answer is Boone Farms was just a little bit lighter version from Mad Dog 2020.
Lighter by not as strong? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, basically.
It was just as gross.
It was just as nasty, the drunk and the hangover. Welcome to the Midweek Tug, everybody. I'm Tommy.
I'm Barry.
And we are the Unrefined Guys, where we kind of take a detour on the Wednesdays, and we try to stay away from politics. We try to stay away from anything too risque, and we just try to get us over the hump. Get
sounds
us
like
under the downward skill of the week.
Yeah, it sounds like this one's going to be reminiscing.
Could be. I mean, we don't ever plan.
Do you remember the first time you drank Mad Dog?
Vaguely.
I mean, not literally remember, but do you remember?
I mean, we were young.
Right.
When
he said 12, and that was about the older ones, I would say 14.
I would say 14, 15, because
I remember because
we were in high school.
Well, yeah, it was our first year in high school,
yep.
But we were working at the fair. The first time we
That's
got
right.
somebody to buy that for us.
A certain sportscaster.
And we ended up walking all the way from the south side where the fair was.
Yeah, we took a wild detour to that. Like,
we were so wasted by the time we got home.
That was also the same time I tasted the God-forbidden White Lightning.
Yeah.
Not White Lightning. Night Train.
Yeah.
And I remember your words clearly. They call it that because that's how it hits.
It does.
And I think we were already done with the first bottle of Mad Dog.
Yeah.
You're
already slurring and you're just thinking about
it. Oh, yeah. We had that tiny bottle of...
it's like a liter bottle.
Of the Night Train.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had like, it wasn't a handle, but a... like that pint.
It was. I think it was a
small one.
Yeah.
But we had two of those big bottles of Mad Dog.
Yeah.
It was more than enough. And then when you add that Night Train onto it,
yeah.
God.
Needless to say, when we got home, I don't remember getting the last part of way home.
I don't either, but we didn't order pizza like was normal.
No, we didn't.
And we slept until like 2:30.
Yep.
And had to be back at the fair by 4.
Yep.
And we were in rough shape that night.
First time we snuck into the beer cooler
and camped out there.
Mainly to get the heat off of us, but it was also
and then ended up
hair of the dog
in it. Yeah. So welcome to the Midweek Tug. You never know what we're going to talk about. When we ended Monday's show recording, we were sitting here and I said, "Do you have any ideas?" And he's like, "None." I said, "Well, shit, me neither." And normally, you know, we have a session where we kind of bounce ideas back and forth and eventually we settle on one, and instead Bear hits the TikTok and he goes, "Oh shit.
Yeah, I forgot about this trend."
And I said, "Well, send me that one. Let's go for it." So full disclosure,
mm-hmm.
This last week I've had a lot of time on my hands at home.
Right.
And I've delved into a little bit of TikTok. So you introduced me to Lady J.
Yeah.
I watched about an hour or so of her videos. And all I got to say is I don't ever want to be on the receiving end of one of her TikToks. She has such a polite way of telling you to get fucked.
Oh, yeah.
She's
one thing I love about her is that she doesn't...
She never attacks the person.
She's not brutal about it, but no, she's not nice either.
But she doesn't attack the person. She always attacks the opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, that pisses a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Which gives her plenty of material.
Oh, yeah.
Which is lovely. She doesn't actually ever discuss politics generally.
No.
Though I get an impression, if I had to guess, she's either moderate or mildly conservative.
I would say she's conservative with a little more left-leaning.
Really?
I think she's mostly conservative. I've watched her not from the beginning, but pretty early.
Right.
And she's attacked Harry Sisson a few times. Attack as a...
Who couldn't attack that punk, though?
And she used to... Every time he put out a video, she would rebut.
Oh, really?
And hit him with facts and stuff. And then
I'm gonna have to dig on that one.
All of a sudden, she just quit messing with him. I don't know why, but she just that's a possibility. Maybe because he's such an easy target to go after for a conservative.
I have learned that in my realm, he has become far too easy. So for those who aren't aware, Harry Sisson is a quote unquote social media influencer. Who is paid, if I had to guess, he's paid by the Democrat, the DNC, National Committee.
Somebody did a deep dig on him, and they found that he was getting paid pretty well from...
He makes quite a bit of money. Yeah. Well, he's a young kid. If I had to guess, he's mid-20s.
Mid-20s, yeah.
Very arrogant.
Maybe a little older, but I don't think he's any younger.
Let's just say, here's a guy who has never... to the best of my recollection, had a negative thing to say, period, about any Democrat, to the best of my knowledge, and especially Joe Biden. We're not digging real deep into the politics here. It's just to kind of give you an idea of who Harry Sisson is. But he's a real young guy, and he's obviously a paid mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah.
As, you know, the Biden administration, and even I think a lot of the Democrats and the Republicans could learn a few things. The Democrats pay some social media influencers a good amount of money. And this Harry J. Sisson gets paid a good amount of money.
He doesn't do anything else.
Yeah. And all he does is he attacks
Trump.
Republicans and conservatives and strokes Biden.
Yeah. If you don't vote Democrat, in his opinion, you're evil.
And there's another guy. His name is Brooklyn Dad Defiant.
He's the one that pisses me off.
He is a very, very, very vile man. He will attack you personally. And then if you attack him back, as I found out before the show several years ago, I went personal. Wrong of me to do. But he had pissed me off enough. I hadn't controlled myself, and I did a dive on him. And I used some of his past against him. And in retrospect, it was wrong. I shouldn't have. But, you know, I brought up his crack habit and a couple other things. The fact that he'd lost his kids and was living in a van. And in hindsight, that was pretty childish of me. But and then there's another one. Her name's JoJo from Jerz. J-E-R-Z. She's a real peach.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get paid very well by the establishment left, I guess, to spread falsehoods.
Right. And they get invited to, like, the State of the Union. Harry was invited to that. And then this last thing that they did in New York City.
The fundraiser.
Yeah, the fundraiser. He was invited to that, too.
So allegedly, this was, if I remember correctly, this fundraiser that was last Friday. I don't know where it was held for sure.
Somewhere in New York City.
You had Obama, Clinton, and Biden had all been there. If I remember correctly, it was 25 G's a plate.
A plate, yeah.
25,000. And there was, like, Lizzo was there. several others. We do need to talk about that a little bit. Several
tired
others.
Of being a mouthpiece for the Democrats.
Sort of,
you gotta do it yourself.
She's gonna leave a big hole in that industry. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, Harry J. Sisson was in attendance. In order to get a picture with an individual president, costs like $50,000 or $60,000. And in order to get a picture of all three of them with you was $100,000. and they allegedly have raised on the upwards of $25 million at this fundraiser. But the Democrats are the party of the working class.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
That's the falsehood they keep pushing off, and they have need, since the inception of the Democratic Party.
They need to start drinking some of that Mad Dog 2020. That's what they need. Remember that other stuff that we had? Purple Passion.
Yes, made with Everclear. Yes.
I didn't like that very good.
Oh, I thought you liked grape soda.
Well, so the issue was, I did. Once.
Yeah, because it was basically grape soda mixed with Everclear.
Yeah.
And they'd sold it in the 2 liter. I think it was like $1.99 back
then. And the 3 liter, too. I remember that one.
Ooh. And I remember days when we were strapped for cash and we'd buy the cheap shit like Mad Dog or the
Boone's Farm Passion.
Or the Purple Passion. And
Purple Passion was, look, if you drank a half of that bottle.
And we did.
You were flying high.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem was you couldn't avoid that crash.
No.
And it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Purple Passion wasn't nearly as brutal as the Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah.
But that Purple Passion would have a way of sneaking back up on you after the fact. I remember.
Well, it was grape soda. So yeah. It was full of sugar. And then, of course, we know what alcohol does to your system. It dehydrates you and makes you, get diabetes for the next couple weeks,
I remember being hung over from the Purple Passion and drinking something non-alcoholic and suddenly being like, oh shit, I feel drunk again.
Right.
It was brutal. That
I think that was the 190 proof that was in it. So.
Everclear was always the go-to mixed drink to mix with like our everything. Jungle juices, yeah. Our pops. Because it didn't have, it was just pure alcohol.
Yeah.
It didn't have really any scent.
No.
And it was one of those brutal drinks that if you took a shot of it, which foolishly enough we did a few times.
As on dares, most of the
that
time.
Hug that it gave you wasn't really a hug. It was more of a crippling paralysis is what it,
Like that one video I was playing when they were doing the shots of Everclear.
Yeah, watching them do that.
Watching them do the shots, and the guy's like, you can hear the internal organs melting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I could smell them melting. The thing about the Purple Passion is that smell.
Mm-hmm.
Once you threw it up, all you smelled was grape soda for the next day or two.
Well, and unfortunately, your vomit would be like black.
Oh, yeah. It was so dark purple blackish.
You were scared that you were dying,
You had ruptured your organ that they'd melted and you were just excreting them from out of your mouth. It was brutal. But we continued to do it all the time.
Well, and that's what I was going to tell you about this trend. And I told you that my cousin, my wife's cousin's wife sent put a post out on Facebook about this trend of Gen Zers on TikTok trying alcohol from the 80s and the 90s, like Mad Dog and Boone's Farm, Everclear, and, they're finding them. It's funny because they're so excited that they found it. Let's try this new thing. I'm going to do a blind react, And it's funny because when they were drinking the Mad Dog, they're like, oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, what you couldn't see in the video here that played at the beginning of the show was in the beginning there was a girl who took a sip and then proceeded to take a large drink.
Yeah.
And drank about a third of the bottle and was like, ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and now.
And that one lady, well, that's dangerous.
Yep.
When you say that about an alcoholic drink, what that means is, that I could drink a lot of that.
It doesn't have a real alcohol-y taste.
Well, and that's the truth with that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Until you've let it get warm or you let
until
you get closer to the bottom of the bottle.
Then
you had to suck it up and finish it.
You had to drink it fast and it had to be cold.
Yeah, I do. Because if you let it get, it's like nitrine. If you let it get warm, oh, God.
There were some times where we would have our town person go in and buy it, and they didn't have any that had been in the freezers. Whew.
Yeah. So we either
sucked it up,
and that's usually what we did, or we would put it in the freezer.
And let it sit.
Yeah, let it in the freezer for like an hour or two, let it get cold-ish. And then drink it.
I wish we'd have known the trick then. about wrapping wet paper towels around it and putting it in the freezer. God, that's a great little tool to have.
Nice little life hack, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, if you don't know, you take a can or a bottle of pop or beer. Be real careful with the beer. And you wet a paper towel, wrap it around the can or the bottle, and put it in the freezer. And in about 15, 20 minutes, you've got an ice cold drink.
Yep.
And I mean, ice cold beer will almost freeze. Do that freeze thing that it does that I always paid for dearly. Loved watching it happen. Hated the outcome, though.
Right.
I basically wasted a beer.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how many times we forgot beers in the freezer.
Oh, how many times did we have Budweiser blow up in the freezer at your mom's house?
A couple times.
God. And then you were just pissed because you paid so much for the beer.
But I remember because, you know, back in the old fridges, you had the ice tray box thing that in the door of the freezer. And that's where we'd put our beers and they'd explode. And it would mess up my mom's ice. And she had to have her iced tea.
Yes.
And you gave her a couple ice cubes that were soaked in beer. She
would definitely unload. Definitely unload.
To be honest, though, she also...
I like the way you avoided
that. Yeah, I almost did it. To be honest, though, there was quite a few times she did it.
She'd leave her wine coolers or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. And it would explode, and then she'd turn around and try to blame us. Of course, she did it jokingly.
Right.
Come on, guys. You know better. Mom, that wasn't us.
Yeah, that definitely was not us.
We don't drink Bartles and James.
I'm trying to find that Everclear one. I'm not finding it, though.
I don't think I sent it to you.
No, you didn't, but I found the guy's page. Anyway, on the TikTok thing, I fell down and I watched a lot of Lady J's. And then this is why it's bad for me. I found a carpet cleaning thing.
Oh, wow.
A rug cleaning.
Oh, my God.
Dear God, that is so...
That is a guilty pleasure of mine. It's so satisfying to watch.
I can't... Like, satisfying is a great attempt at making some kind of a descriptive word for it, because it's beyond satisfying. Oh, my God. I think I watched them clean about 100 rugs or so. Like, you look at a rug, it looks, looks worn. Oh, my God, they pull some dirt out of them things. God, it was amazing.
Then you find this one that every rug that they're cleaning, it looks like it's been left in the mud for...
Yeah, wait, what? Where are you putting your rugs that they're that dirty?
Right. So I sit there going, okay, these are staged.
Some of them I would think have to be.
Because the real cleaning ones, the rugs aren't that dirty.
Right.
They're dirty, don't get me wrong, but they're not caked in mud and whatever.
It's so bad, I found myself thinking, I wonder what a setup like this to do would cost, so that not only could I see it happen all the time, but I could make a few bucks off of cleaning rugs, too.
Right.
But
the equipment, the setup would cost you.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
But you could make money off of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, how do you advertise, hey, you got a rug you need cleaned? I mean, I've never thought of cleaning a rug until I see this video last week, and I went, shut up. Like,
I'm just surprised that you came across it.
Yeah, well, I was Lady J in it, and here's this rug, and I went,
that is one
oh,
of my
God.
That's one of my things. If you were to get on my phone right now and get on TikTok, and you scroll a few, there it would be there.
Yeah.
It would be that guy with the cleaning of the rugs, or the guy who goes around and cleans up yards.
Saw him.
Yeah.
I saw him. Like, nobody lives there, or they're just... Hey, come to my neighborhood, buddy. I know it's not nearly as bad as what you're used to, but you get a...
Not only does he mow and trim down the yard, but he also pressure washes.
Yeah, pressure washes. I mean, he cleans it. The other thing that... I mean, it wasn't as good, but it was the car detailing.
Yeah.
When they're cleaning the seats and stuff. Oh, man.
Well, that's weird that we're on...
Yeah. And look,
our selling guilty pleasures.
I try not to get stuck in TikTok, but like I said, I've had a week where I've just kind of had some extra time, and it wasn't hours and hours, but it was a couple.
Right.
And between Lady J, that rug thing, oh my God.
Right.
It's like, I don't personally like to peel sunburn skin off of people.
But it's like that, yeah.
But it's similar to that. My wife loves to do it.
Yeah, when it's on myself, I have no, I can't. I cannot pick at it.
Yeah, I'll pick at my own, but I am not picking at somebody else.
No, I'm
Whereas my, my wife and my daughter, oh boy.
So you, I know the answer to this question, but I'm just going to ask it. So you're also into the pimple popping ones, aren't you?
I was into pimple popping. And the other one is ingrown toenails.
Toenails, or gosh. Have you seen the ingrown
hair? The hair ones are okay.
Well, they're
like the cysts
are
better than the ingrown hairs. You get a good cyst. I used to watch this. It was on YouTube. It would be how I'd get tired enough to fall asleep as I'd watch these people blowing cysts out of people's backs. And I'm like, wow. I have a hunch that if I were there in person, I probably wouldn't have the same reaction. But especially, I can only imagine how some of that smells.
Oof, yeah. That's true.
Guilty pleasures. What a way to go. How did we end up here? Mad Dog 2020 was definitely a guilty pleasure when we were in school.
Well, we make it sound like we're horrible alcoholics, and we...
No, alcoholics go to meetings. Yeah, we were drunk.
We didn't quit. No, it wasn't every weekend, but it was at least once a month that we would, for lack of a better term, let our hair down.
It's about right. We went through a phase
in the
there.
Summer. It was like every week.
Yeah, in the summer, it was frequent. During school, with the exception of a few times, it was like once a month, maybe. Yeah. There was an occasion where we'd have a couple of beers on a school night. Never turned out well.
No, it didn't.
We stayed at my brother's house one night. I don't even remember why we were staying over there.
We got that urge. I that's the way
I remember.
Is
that what it was?
We just got the urge to drink, and we had to go to school the next day. And I think between the two of us, we bought, what was it? Three cases or three 12 packs or whatever.
Two cases and a bottle of something. I don't remember what the bottle was. And the problem was, is my brother, nice enough guy.
We went to him because he would buy for us.
Yeah, rest his soul. But for whatever reason, he bought Busch Light that night.
And we didn't ask for that.
And we didn't ask for that. We did not ask for that. But, you know, we weren't going to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right.
We drank two cases of beer and whatever the bottle was, and maybe it was a couple of little shooters. I don't remember. I know there was some alcohol on top of the beer. Oh my God.
So we get all these two cases of beer.
And I think we're playing rummy or something.
We're playing poker.
Poker. That's right. Five card.
We're five card draw. And figured it out that I was cheating.
Yeah, he was looking at. I wore sunglasses, and they were
mirrored
sunglasses that were sitting on the table, and I was holding my cards in front of my sunglasses. So he was looking in my. I mean, is that cheating or was I just stupid? I was stupid.
Well, because there was a couple of hands that before you caught me on it. You're like, how did you know to fold?
Yeah, like I would play it real well, and he'd just be like. Nah, fold. That's not cool.
What the fuck?
And we drank two cases of beer that night.
Yeah.
That was our junior year? Sophomore year?
Junior. I think
junior
it was
year.
Yeah, I think it was third year.
God dang.
Yeah, we woke up. He woke up in the bathtub.
In the bathtub.
And I woke up on the patio.
Yeah, in the front patio. No, the back patio.
Back patio, yeah. And you could tell we had been sick. At least I could tell I was sick because I know you were probably in the bathroom and
I'm sure that's why.
And that's why I went out to the patio and it was a nice cool night. So I just stayed out there, come back in, and on the table that we were playing poker on.
Pyramid.
It's this biggest beer can pyramid that I've ever seen.
Two cases of beer and every one of those cans had found its way into that pyramid. And I remember being pretty sauced. I don't know how we were able to balance those cans.
Right.
There were times where we got so stupid drunk. Like, we didn't deserve to be as lucky as we always ended up being. But that day, we had fully planned, even, I don't know, by 10 o'clock when we were pretty sauced. Oh, we'll still get up. We'll still make it to
school. We'll make
it to
school. Yeah. We'll be fine. Just catch the bus over here.
Catch the bus right there in front of my brother's place. We'll make it in there. No, never once thinking we're going to smell like a brewery when we get there.
We didn't care.
And then when we woke up, it was just before 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
School was already out.
We didn't have cell phones, so we didn't have missed calls.
No cell phone, no missed calls. Show up to my house to clean up. Nobody asked.
No.
Nobody. It was just.
We got away with that one.
We got lucky, as we always did.
Yeah, because I think it was. No, it was a Friday.
It was a Friday.
Thursday going into Friday.
Yep.
So we didn't have to go to school the next day.
And then we ended up hanging out all weekend. We drank Saturday.
Yeah, but we didn't.
Very lightly.
Yeah, compared to everybody else, so we didn't drink shit.
Yeah.
And I remember that question of all walkers.
Why are you guys not drinking? Well,
you guys need nipples on those? You know,
trust me, we still have alcohol in our system from Thursday.
That was a definite time that we probably both were suffering from alcohol poisoning.
Guaranteed.
Because I know, like you said, when we got back to your house, I was still buzzed.
Oh, yeah.
I was still feeling it. We drank so much water that day, that next day.
And
I think we even stopped at the drive-through convenience store to get Gatorades
or something.
I think,
man, we did some stupid shit. Stupid shit.
That was a great weekend, though. We had fun that weekend.
You know what's funny, though?
Isn't that the same weekend with the grenade?
No, that was summertime.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That was summertime. If you kids today, for better or for worse, the kids of today will likely never experience things the way we did. I mean, because we didn't have video game consoles.
No.
We didn't have computers. Well, we didn't have phones.
We did have some kind of video games.
Nintendo.
But those are usually Sega. The richer kids.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know.
So we spent our weekends and our afternoons out.
Oh, yeah.
We'd go to the reservoir and hang out.
Yeah.
We'd go to the river. I mean,
go to the Friday night drags.
Or hanging out on Main Street, because that was a cool thing to do. Kids today, I mean, I don't remember what I was listening to, but kids today aren't even getting their driver's license at 16.
No, which that was a thing.
At 15 and 6 months, we were getting our permit.
Yeah.
At 16 on the birthday or real close to it.
It was usually on my birthday.
We were getting our driver's license.
I know it was on my birthday.
And kids today, they're waiting until they're 19, 20.
Yeah, my oldest, he didn't get his license until he was 18.
Both of mine got them pretty quickly, not right at, but real quickly, close to their birthdays.
Yeah.
Some of their friends, though, they didn't get them.
My youngest was the rare for his generation. He got it
right away. He's a motorhead.
He is.
So that helps, but the kids of this generation's.
Well, that was going back to that post that I was telling you about the Mad Dog.
Oh, trip, right.
She's like, should we tell him? Is what she put on her post. And I was like, my comment back to her was like, no, don't tell him.
No.
This is how we find the strong ones in this generation. Yeah.
What do they call it? The Darwin Awards?
Yeah.
Natural selection. You know, I mean, that's how we had to figure it out.
Remember when I showed you the video for the Everclear and he's like, I don't remember the warning labels at the bottom.
I'm pretty sure there was no warning labels.
I think we're the reason why there is warning labels.
Probably. You know, we were fortunate. We had some, I mean, I wouldn't say they were friends, but acquaintances that ended up in the hospital from drinking too much. We probably may have had once or twice where we should have gone.
Well, and I'm sure we were responsible for one or two of those.
I guarantee it. I guarantee. Yeah,
after our
expeditions?
No, that or escapades, of drinking the Mad Dog, walking home, and when he said two bottles, it was two bottles apiece. of the Mad Dog.
You're figuring these were
our little tiny bottles of nitrate.
Buck and a half, $2 a piece at the time.
So we just got off of work. The liquor store was like right there next to the fair. We did this. We went home and we actually weren't that bad. We were bad when we woke up the next day, but we were like, we need to tell our friends about this.
Oh, yeah.
So for the next 3 weeks to a month, every weekend we'd hit somebody with that.
Somebody would be like, just slam it, dummy. Just slam it.
So watching a few of our friends suffer from that. My favorite was when we got Jamie.
Jamie was the easy one to pick on.
Do you remember when he was at at my mom's house, and we got back to my mom's house, and he was loaded.
God, and he picked up the Let me set the stage.
It was you and my brother, because you guys chew.
Yeah,
or used to chew.
Well, so Bear's brother chewed, and back then, Bear's brother was he was two-faced in that we made him two-faced in that there were two sides to him. There was the cool dude who was always after what's in it for me.
Yeah.
And then there was the manipulative dude of you're going to do this or I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
And those are the two. And so when I say he was two-faced, it wasn't in the traditional sense. You knew where you stood.
Yeah.
But there was always a catch with him. But he was a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
Still
he
is.
Did. Yeah. Everything he did, he was busting his hump, earning money. And this guy would, he'd be gone when you woke up in the morning and he wouldn't come home until way late at night. And this particular night, and Bear's brother at the time anyway, if he drank 12 Mountain Dews in a day, it was a slow day for him because he just drank those things all the time.
Like they were water. Yeah.
Well, and again, I was chewing and his brother was chewing and his brother would spit into a Mountain Dew bottle.
Yeah.
And it was so disgusting, which is why I've not been a, I don't, oh, I'm not saying it. I gut it. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I have been for a long time. And this is one of the reasons, because between your brother and my brother who would spit in these bottles and they just, it was disgusting.
Yeah, like, they stunk.
It stunk and it just, it was thick. It was, anyway. So he spits in these bottles and he just leaves them around the house. Now, poor Jamie is blasted drunk. He walks in, you know, into the living room. Was mom there?
Mom was in bed.
She was in bed.
He once he sees mom's chair. Because my mom's chair was amazingly comfortable.
Everybody would fight to get the chair. And it was we had a rule. There was no fighting over it because we'd break it. Whoever got it, it was theirs.
Yeah.
And Jamie happened to get it. And he refused to get up because whoever shuffle your feet moves your seat.
Yeah.
And he was drunk anyway, and this Mountain Dew bottle had been in that position for probably 3 days, which is surprising in and of itself because mom hated those bottles.
Yeah. But she refused to touch them.
Yeah, she wouldn't touch it, which is why it would stay on her
end table
there. Oh, my God. And this thing, Jamie just reached right over.
Didn't even look at it.
Didn't look at it. Picked it up and took the biggest gulp of this thing, and we're all watching it.
We're all trying not to puke.
And he kind of gags a little bit and then tips it back and takes a second drink. At this point, I think it was Matt went up and grabbed the bottle from him and said, dude, it's chew spit.
It's a spitter.
Jamie proceeds to stand up nonchalantly and stumble his way to the kitchen sink and proceeds to throw up. To watch this all, it was slow. It wasn't like there was any urgency.
No.
He's talking as he's walking to the sink. We're not sure what
he was cursing.
Doing.
You know, he was cursing
he's
at
cursing,
us
yeah.
for letting him do it. And I'm like,
but he's not.
Nobody told you to do it.
He's not in any rush. He gets over, he turns the water on, and he just proceeds to throw his shoes into the the sink through his mouth. And like nothing had ever happened. It's the most disgusting. Every time I think of that. I get
little.
That little gag. My mouth starts to water, and I can't believe just so nonchalant.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's not kidding. When Jamie just when we finally told when Matt told him, dude, you're drinking a spitter. Jamie's like, oh, okay.
You got and he cussed us out.
Cussed us out.
We
for
didn't
letting him
put
do
it there.
And then he stands up, and it's like Tommy said, it was just nonchalant. He walks into the kitchen and we're all looking at him like, what's he going to do?
I thought he was just going to get a drink or something.
I thought he was going to go get some water.
Turns the water on and just turns and just like, almost as if it was like breathing.
Yeah.
Just turns sideways. Turns back, talks to us for a minute, turns back and throws up again. It was just,
cannot believe you guys let me do that. Yeah.
God, we were assholes.
We didn't let you. We just couldn't believe that you were doing it.
We did let him because we didn't stop him.
Well,
and we didn't tell him, hey, don't do that.
He grabs it.
Yeah.
We could have stopped him. You're right. But at the same time, we're like, no, he's not going. Oh, he did.
I thought he was just kind of messing with us because we've all accidentally come close. Not that close. Like we've picked it up and went, ugh. The right. smell alone was enough to get your attention. Ugh. Nasty.
That was one of the funniest nights, though.
Oh, man. Seeing the video of talking about...
Watching him do that sobered me right up.
Oh, well, we weren't as plowed, but that was the night he had been introduced to the Mad Dog. Yeah. It was grape. I don't know why I remember that. And he... Look, if you haven't had Mad Dog, I don't encourage you to try it, but if you do, just take a small shot, like a half a shot of it, and what you'll realize is it tastes like overly sugary Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's true.
And it goes down freaking smooth.
As long as it's cold, yeah.
If it's cold, and Jamie drank that whole bottle probably within about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, because he got the grape one because he was a grape soda fan. And, yeah, he chugged it before we even got halfway across the town from where we were at, where we got it.
We were to my house on the north side.
Yeah, yep. And it was gone by the time we got, and then... It hit him, like, right away. Of course, he was lightweight anyway.
That's got to tell you something. As I sit here and think about that, it wasn't late. It was still dusk. It was light dusk, enough. Yeah. And here's teenagers walking across town. And it's not like we were hiding ourselves.
No. Nope.
We weren't openly carrying these bottles, but when we took it out to drink it, we weren't hiding it.
We weren't exactly displaying.
Right. Yeah. We weren't showing it off or anything.
We had a little move where whoever was taking a drink would get in the middle of the group. Yeah. You know.
We would walk all over. That was just what we did. We walked everywhere.
Well, we were in good shape.
Back yes, then. We were.
Not so much now.
Well, you know, what's funny is, damn kids. Funny what age does to us, right? It's lovely.
The wife asked me every once in a while, let's go over here and go for a walk. And I'm like, no, I did enough of that when I was a teenager.
I was watching, there's a series out called, I think it's called This Is Us.
Yeah.
About a family and it's the mom and dad. They have triplets. One of the triplets passes away at birth. And coincidentally enough, at the same time that this triplet passed away, a baby was abandoned at a fire department, and the doctor who birthed these triplets steps in and helps them adopt this baby boy who was a black child, and this family's white. Well, they're raised as all of this, and as they get older, they kind of walk you through, it's one of those today's, last week's, last year's, 10 years ago, today. It's a good show. I found myself hooked on it. And the daughter, there's two boys and a girl of these triplets, and the daughter has got a weight problem. She marries a guy who's a bigger dude, and she gets angry with him because he started working out and losing the weight and getting in shape. And she got angry with him last night. Like, I was like, what? All I could think is if my wife had put on a bunch of weight, and I was working out, which we all know that would never happen. And she got mad at me. I'd have problems with it. I don't know why that would bother me.
Same here.
Irritating.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, I'm trying to be healthy.
I've decided I've had enough.
Yeah, we know I wouldn't do. But
right, yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah.
If you know, she starts working out.
My wife has always had some type of routine that she does. You know, she had put on some weight when our son was born, and she didn't let it off, and she got mad at her. I think she's beautiful. And so she decided to lose weight. She did. She knocked it off. She kept it off. And then, you know, with the chemo stuff. And again, she's always working out, whether it's doing Zumba, which that was a thing, or whether it's, you know, even just walking on the treadmill.
I remember her doing P90X.
She did P90X. She did it twice.
Yeah.
And then she started saying, well, maybe we'll do CrossFit. And I said, that's a bridge. No, I don't want to hear about it.
When she was doing P90X, threatening to kick my ass cause she's training for P90X.
Yeah.
I'm like, bitch.
She did it. She did it twice. She, when she puts her mood or her head into it, there's nothing that can stop her. She lost the weight. She did the P90X, and she did look at doing CrossFit. And I look, I don't need a vegan. Well, I'm still going to eat normal. Yeah, but you're going to tell everybody you're doing CrossFit. Oh, I CrossFit. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
that was like a bad fad for a while.
Just like tell me your pronouns.
Yeah,
I don't need it.
That's weird that you said that. It is a progression. We started out from vegetarian. Everybody had to tell, oh, I'm vegetarian. And then you went to vegan, and everybody's like, oh, I'm vegan. Nobody cares. Yeah. I don't care.
My cow's vegan.
Yeah. I just do it the long way. Then you get CrossFit. CrossFit. I'm like, do CrossFit. Nobody cares. Yeah. And now, oh, my pronouns. What's net? No, don't. Don't ask that, because it'll get weirder.
Yeah, it will, because it's just gotten progressively, even since we were in high school.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Some of the stuff that, where'd this? I don't care.
Well, think about it. And, you know, we hint at this all the time, but when's the last time you saw a hitchhiker? For you, probably been a little different.
Well, it's changed, you know, because when we were doing it, it was like we had heard about in the movies. We stuck our thumbs out and we were right there on the fog line, you know, to get people's attention. Now it's... you're at a gas station that's right off the freeway.
You ask somebody.
And somebody will come up to you, because in a lot of states, in Colorado is now one of them, it's illegal technically it's illegal everywhere, but in some states they don't care if you're out on the highway hitchhiking. And like, for example, Nebraska, they make it very clear, do not hitchhike in our state.
Really?
Yeah. So you can get off at an exit and go to get a ride from somebody from the gas station that was right off the interstate. That's fine. But if you're on the street or on the on-ramps or whatever, thumbing it, they will arrest you.
Wow.
And Colorado's getting to that point. It's not technically illegal here.
Used to be in Colorado, you could do it,
but
only be on the on-ramp and off-ramp, on and off-ramp, and you had to be like in a certain distance away from the actual merge line.
Right.
I don't know what it is now, but it has been a long time since I've seen
I have never actually. Well, you'll see people walking down the highway.
Right.
They just won't stick their thumbs out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's implied.
Right.
You know, in my opinion, but they never stuck their thumb out, so it's not technically.
Yeah, you didn't make an effort, so you're just walking.
Yeah. Well, they're not technically hitchhiking.
Sure.
So if I pull over on the side of the road,
ask them if they want to ride.
Pretending that I have a flat tire.
Right.
I have given rides to people that are clearly in need of a ride.
I have too. I've picked up hitchhikers for a long time.
But then there's those ones where you just see them and you're like, sketch.
Yeah.
No, not doing it.
There was a couple of times where I'd stopped. Somebody had their thumb out, and I'd stop and kind of get a feel for them, and they'd just give me the vibe. And I'd be like, well, I'm only going a mile up the road, and then I'm going a different direction. I got a buddy or something. You know, I just, because of, like you said, suspicious, just too weird.
I think it's because of what we did in our past and in our jobs and stuff, plus who we are. We can read people pretty quickly. And I was at a truck stop. I'm just, quick story. I was at a truck stop in Nebraska. It's a really large truck stop. And there's this guy standing there right at the entrance and he's not actually actively hitching. He's just standing there. He doesn't even have a sign or nothing. So I park my truck. He's still standing there. I go inside. I do my business. I come back out. He's still standing there. I walk over to him before I go to my truck. And I was like, do you need a lift? He goes, yeah, I just don't know how to ask for it. And he's wearing BDUs. He just got out of the service.
Right.
So I was like, where are you heading? Trying to get a feel for him.
Right.
And he's like, well, I'll go as far as you can take me. And I was like, well, that's pretty far considering
where I'm
going.
You don't even know where I'm headed yet.
I was like, well, I'll tell you this. And I was just blunt with him. I was like, are you a threat? Am I going to be hacked up? Or am I going to get, no, I just need a ride. And I'm like, all right, well, since I've got a feel for you and I told you, you know, I'll give you the ride. Only because I believe that you are a former military and you deserve the help. So get in the truck and he comes to find out he has a CDL and you know, I ended up taking him to our terminal. Terminal. Nice. And getting him a job there.
That works.
He didn't have an address. That was the biggest problem. I was like, just go to the UPS store down the street.
Mm, buy a box.
Buy a box and I gave him money for it and set up an address and then you can go to work.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about today's day and age.
Every now and then I get a text or an email from him.
Oh, really?
Asking me how I'm doing. That's cool. And stuff.
In this day and age now, it seems that, you know, there's some things before that were fairly common that just aren't anymore. Like if you were to go today and apply for a job, and I know this is a stretch, but they ask for a home, you know, a phone number, and if you gave them a landline, mm-hmm. and you didn't fill in that cell phone section, many places won't even hire you if you don't have a cell phone, which blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, most people don't have a landline anymore.
Right. But there, obviously, there's not many, but there are those that don't have a cell phone either.
Yeah, no.
How do you get a hold of somebody if you send me an email? Yeah. I don't have an email.
Well, and over by the house, my house, there's a bunch of the big box stores are over there, mm-hmm. Home Depot, Lowe's, Costco, Sam's, all of them are over there. So there's constantly homeless and illegals over there. And the biggest thing they ask for is help getting a cell phone.
I could see that.
Because, they, like you said, without a cell phone, they can't, it's hard for them to get a job.
Yeah.
So I don't ever give them a cell phone.
I don't know how.
I'm not that wealthy.
I don't know how the prepaid phones work, but I've called some before where, you know, they've been on an application or something, and the subscriber you've called has run out of minutes or something, and I'm just like, I you see some of these homeless folks looking at a cell phone. Mm-hmm. They look like they haven't had a shower in a week and a half or 2 weeks, but they're looking at a phone.
Yeah.
And I remember when the phones first came out, them big-ass brick phone that they had, thinking how weird it looked. And this tells you where society is at today. How weird it was back then, because if you had one of those phones and you were walking, your priorities were screwed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when I first moved back from New York.
Well, that's still the way I feel.
Yeah, it's hard
if
not
if you're walking
to.
Around with a cell phone and you don't have a car or your priorities are screwed.
But most people don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Because like when I first came back from New York, cell phones were just getting to be a point where they weren't as gaudy and bulky. And
yeah, they were more streamlined.
That whole Nokia.
Yeah.
The one that probably still works to this day.
Indestructible. Yeah. Bastard, yeah.
I had a car, but for whatever reason, I was walking somewhere. And I was talking to somebody, I don't even know who it was, and somebody honked and said, get a car. And I'm like, oh, wow, that does look pretty bad. And so I'd make sure to anytime I walked or if I walked from the restaurant that I worked at down to the gas station just on my break to get a drink or whatever, I wouldn't pull that phone out for any reason in the world. But yeah. Today,
right,
everybody's got a phone. So many people don't have cars.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the big things that drives me crazy with the illegal immigration thing is they're giving them cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And I can speak from experience from the other night, was door dashing just to make a few extra bucks.
Right.
Actually, it was the wife that was doing it. I'm not going to take all the credit. She was at a pizza place because we had ordered a pizza.
Uh-huh.
And everybody that was in there waiting for a pizza were illegals, and they were all there for DoorDash or Grubhub. So in the state of Colorado, they will help you get a driver's license if you're an illegal immigrant.
Right.
They give you a cell phone. All you need is a car, and you can get cars for regular, you know, pretty cheap. And DoorDash doesn't care if your car is new or old. Or,
right.
They don't give a shit. So you could effectively start working at DoorDash, and that's what's happened. And now also who've done it from time to time and part-time are phased out of it because there's too many DoorDashers.
So it... Are they contracted at that point, 1099?
Technically, with gig work like that, you're 1099, yeah.
That would, because they shouldn't be able to work.
No, I agree.
Unless they've gotten that, I don't remember what it is for the asylum piece, but they're literally scheduling, and I think it's court dates are like 6 to 8 years out.
Yeah.
So how do they work between those 2 points, I guess, unless you get that.
Unless you get a permit to
a
work.
Permit
whatever
to
it's
work.
Called, a visa, a work visa.
Yeah, and I don't know how you would get that.
Without putting yourself in the...
In the system.
In the system,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know for sure if they have work visas or not, but it was very disheartening to see.
Oh, I can imagine.
And then she sent me a picture of it. It was like 40 people in this little...
Dear God.
Papa Murphy's or Papa John's, whatever it was, waiting for pizzas, and none of them spoke English. So when they were calling the names, okay, we got an order for John.
Man.
John S. What?
Juan.
So that's... my wife was actually really nice and was like, I think that's you, you know, and helping people. You know?
I mean, looking at...
Everybody's got the right to work.
Oh, sure.
But for those of us who did it part-time, now we can't get on and can't even sign on to that because
there's so many others.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I was looking, it's been a while now, at one of the car giving, you know, ride share programs. And obviously my truck, I could never do that. But they've got a program, or they did, I don't know if they still do, where they will assist you in renting a car that is specifically for the giving ride shares. And they tell you, and I don't remember.
You're basically leasing the car or renting the car.
And they give you like a super great rate because you're doing it for this company.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, it was like you had to give like 15 or 20 rides a week minimum. And that would definitely pay off the rental.
Right.
And then everything after that was, you know, for you.
And some of them actually put you on a schedule. You know, they put you on like a 5-hour schedule to be driving, to
be
doing Lyft or Uber, whatever company it may be. Some of them will put you on a schedule and say, we need you to drive from this time to this time these days. And it was like a part-time.
All right. So it's a scheduled part-time. Yeah. But then it's not
that way they the car is getting paid for.
Right. They know that their car, because I've taken some rides in the past and, you know, like Teslas or whatever. And ask the driver, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I just rent this for this." Mm-hmm. That's expensive to rent it. And he said, "No, it's like $1,200 a month."
Yeah, that's more.
That's more than a car payment in some cases.
If you're paying $1,200 a month for your car payment, either A, you really got a good job,
right,
or you're getting Dovers.
So. Right. Well, all I could think is $1,200 a month. How many rides is that before you're putting any money in your pocket?
Well, when I was a cab driver back in the day and I leased the cab, excuse me, it was $500 a week.
For the cab?
For the cab.
Okay.
That was usually the first day or two that I was working.
Really?
I worked Monday. I usually worked 5 days a week. So if I worked Monday, by Tuesday evening-ish, I would already have the car payment.
Oh,
anything,
wow.
Anything after... That $500 was all mine.
Dang.
And I was doing it in Boulder during school and all that. So I was doing pretty good. Remember the house I was living in at the time.
That's a fascinating thing because...
So I'm sure it's similar to that.
Cabs are nowhere near what they used to be.
Oh, no. Cabs is not a thing anymore.
It's a dying...
It is. And it's not fair to the cab drivers or the Public Utilities Commission who... You know, runs the cab company.
Right.
That places like Uber and Lyft can vary their rates depending on how busy it is.
Oh, trust
That's
me.
Not
I remember
fair
that.
Because, yeah, we've all been in those situations where we took a Lyft or an Uber to a concert or a game.
Yep.
And we got there, it was only $20. And then when we leave, it's $120. You know, it's
or worse.
It's not fair to the cab companies because they can't.
Yeah, they can't.
They're stuck.
Adjust their rates.
They're stuck at that rate. So they're dying. But if you take the $1,200 a month and you divide it by four, it's similar to the cab lease thing. So
I guess so.
And as long as you bust your ass.
Yeah, but if you're only doing like $10 rides and $7, but see, and then I don't know how much of those they actually get to keep. Like, what does the company get versus what the driver gets? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that varies. And then they keep your tips, don't they?
No.
Well, I mean, you don't get the tips until like at the end of the week or whatever, right?
Now, they're not supposed to keep the tips. There's legislation that says that they cannot keep the tips.
Uh-huh.
But if your tips are hooked to the same thing as your, you know, they can take the total and take their cut out of it.
They take a percentage because you're using their payout system, which just floors me.
I mean, it can be lucrative in the sense that you can make some money on it. Are you going to make a good living? No. No, you're not.
Mm. I mean, it's because there's so many drivers.
Well, yeah, and you would have to make it a full-time job. You have to. But it's just not really worth it anymore because there's so many, like you said. I talked to a Lyft driver the other day that gave us a ride, and he was saying that he just doesn't leave my area, the west side of town, because it's you go out to the airport, it's you're fighting for a trip, and you sit out there for hours before you get a trip. Because
and this is one of the few airports that doesn't have a rideshare place per se.
No.
They make them pull in and leave.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have a fare, but you go to other airports, and a lot of these places have a place where these rideshare people can park till they get a fare.
DIA does have a holding area for rideshare, but it's so full all the time that if it's full and you pull up there and you would go to pull into the commercial zone, and it's full of Lyft or Uber drivers, you have to leave. There's no room to put you, now you have to go back down.
Do the circle, Pena Circle.
Go do the Pena Circle or go back down to Tower Road and park at one of those convenience stores down off Tower, which now you're miles away. So you do get a ride, they're going to be a little butthurt.
Well, yeah, because they had to wait 15 minutes while you got there. It's interesting because there's times where you think, well, you know, that'd be good extra money.
It was.
But if you've got 500 drivers and you only have 200 people that are looking for rides, it's got to be a little bit.
When it first became a thing, I did it for a little while, and it was lucrative. Uh-huh. And I didn't refuse to go to the airport. I just didn't bother going to the airport. And I stayed just in Aurora in downtown Denver.
Right.
That's all I did. And I was making take-home after everything's all paid off and stuff. I was making $700, $800 a week, and I was only doing it maybe 3-4 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah, so.
It's not horrible, I suppose, but.
The only problem is it's your car.
Right.
And everybody who does a rideshare thinks it's their car.
Oh, yeah.
And they have every right to do this and do that. No, it's my car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't allow you to eat your gyros in the back seat of my car.
Please don't.
Because those are some messy freaking sandwiches.
So good, though.
I don't deny that. But my ask was no smoking.
No eating.
No eating. You can drink as long as it's a resealable drink.
Right.
I don't want fountain drinks in there. I don't want something that's going to easily spill.
Exactly.
So if you have a bottle of soda, just make sure you close it. That's all I've ever asked.
So I know that those ride shares, if somebody throws up, they have an automatic like $250 or something like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have something for like drinks or food spills. I'm just curious how they all work.
I know when I was doing it, and that's why my stars were pretty low on Lyft. My rating was pretty low because I would charge people for spilling shit in my car.
Well, yeah.
I just put it under the sick. Rider got sick.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I got to go down detail my car because.
I was talking to a driver. I don't remember if it was in Florida or if it was in Nashville, but he said that it had to be in Florida because it was, you know, after spring break and everything, because I was talking to him about how, you know, he does okay, he says. But he says that during spring break, he makes a killing because people will literally get in their cars, vomit, and it's like $250 to $500 just for throwing up in their car. And he said that's when he made his most money because people be throwing up in the car a lot. Whereas if they threw up out the window, it was less.
Yeah,
however much that was. I didn't know there was levels of.
Yeah, no, there is. When I was driving cab, when I leased the car. Now, if you're just working for the company, you don't get to do that.
Right.
But when you're leasing the car, you can charge people.
Wow. It's so interesting to hear about all that.
It takes you out of rotation.
Right.
Because now you got to go get the car cleaned.
And it may need extra cleaned.
Yeah.
That's just so. It's so wild that there's all these little things that people don't maybe take into consideration about being in a ride share. You know, like I had to take a lift a couple of weeks ago to get to work when my truck broke down. And like, I you know, I try to be polite, but I don't also want to talk their ear off because they got to talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. So I wait for them to start the conversation. And this guy was quiet till about 2/3 of the way there and then just opened right up. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, conversational. And he had some personal opinions about politics and whatnot. And he shared them with me and it was funny. He was a, you know, an immigrant who had come to the country 20 years before, and he had a certain opinion about the current situation we're in, which I can say I was a little bit surprised by, because he wasn't for what was going on in our country right now. I thought it was pretty funny. But to know some of these insides and outsides, you know, the secrets that you don't, and I think where I got the curiosity was you see some of these on social media, these share drivers will post the videos of shit that's happened in their cars. Like a girl got in this driver's car once and she got in. He was like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, oh shit, drive, drive. He's fitting to shoot at us. And the guy takes a bullet through his back window. Crazy stuff like that, yeah, that you just never think about.
Right. The one thing I came across a lot when I was doing Lyft was people would order a lift, and then by rules you're supposed to identify each other by first names. So yeah, hey Bear, Tiffany,
right?
Yeah, okay, you get in the car, just to make sure you have the right car. Right,
makes sense.
Well, then they get in the car and you'd put it in drive and you start rolling away, and they'd cancel the ride. And they do that so they feel like that you have to go ahead and complete the trip, and they only paid for maybe a block.
Really?
Yeah, they canceled the ride, and so they're trying to get a free ride out of you, and that didn't work for me.
You just stop where they stop it.
There's videos of people doing that, and there's a guy on TikTok he's very popular right now. And I'm like, I was doing that shit before you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But anyway, I would as soon as because it comes up on my phone as soon as it cancels, the ride's been canceled. I just pull over and say, okay, well, we're done.
Get out, yeah.
And a lot of times you can't do that. No, I can't, because you canceled the ride.
Yeah, there's no ride here.
Yeah. This is my car. This isn't a company car. This is my car. Get out. And there was one lady that called the cops on me because I was forcing her out and I didn't complete the service that she paid for. And I was like,
she canceled it right there.
Well, see, what people don't realize is there's a record. There is a log of how long the ride was, where you picked them up, and where you picked them up. And it's easy to pull up and show people, this is what I did.
Right.
And so I pulled that up and I showed the cop, and he's like, ma'am.
That's bizarre. I wonder how many other little scams and whatnot there is to get. Because, you know, most people don't think about the intricacies of, you know, gig work, like giving people rides in your own personal car.
Well, that's the one thing I would say for anybody who's into using Lyft or Uber is realize that it's somebody's car.
Right.
It's somebody's property. There are some people that are leasing or renting these cars for the job, but still, you don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's easier ways to tell here in Colorado, but
right.
Treat it with respect. Treat it like you would treat your own vehicle. Exactly. You know, treat it like you would want your car to be treated.
Right.
If somebody else got into your car. So don't, you know, treat it like, you know, they owe you.
Right.
That's the main thing.
They're providing a service that they don't have to provide.
And they don't have to be nice to you.
Right.
There's no rule that says we have to be nice to you. Now, if you want a tip.
Yeah, or you want your rating to reflect it. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if I just pick you up, don't say a word to you, and then take you to your destination, I don't expect a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
I don't.
But I provide the service.
But if I'm sitting there and I try to have a conversation with you and I'm being nice to you and all that, I helped you with your bags, whatever.
Right.
Then I kind of deserve a 5-star rating.
I provided the service that I said I was going to provide. I don't have to do all that other stuff.
I don't have to like you. And whatever you do, don't demand this or that from the driver. I demand that you turn that radio down or turn that radio up or don't talk to me or don't be demanding just because you're paying for a service.
I always wondered about that piece too, because I don't like the music. That's that person's workspace. Now, if they're playing gangster rap or sex music or something like that, and there's kids involved or it's going to offend you, sure, you know, hey, you know, whatever. But you can do it politely and just be like, oh, you can't play that. Well, no, they can. You know, just because I don't, like, I tried to be respectful in that sense that this is their office. This is what they're listening to, and the fact that it's still on. Now, if it's super loud.
Oh, yeah. No.
You can ask them to turn it down politely.
Yeah. If they're jamming it really loud, yeah, absolutely. You can tell them to turn it down, but or ask them to turn it down. Doesn't mean they will.
Sure.
But when I was doing it, I kept it at a moderate level, you know, so it was, and I, you know, the music may have not have been what they liked.
Sure.
But it was such a low level.
It's just background noise.
It wasn't, you know, overpowering. I do remember, I forgot I was listening to Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
And it was turned down like I normally left it. And some things were going on the show that were R-rated.
Yeah, yeah.
The passengers that I was with were not happy with me. And I was like, you know what?
My bad.
I didn't even think about it being on. If you had said something, I'd have shut it off.
Right.
I'd have changed the channel or something. And, you know, the lady was cool about it, but she was, you know, pissed that she got to listen to Howard Stern for a minute.
Watching some of these videos that I have seen where, you know, you get these writers that'll get in and they're just jerks, like right off the bat.
That's all the time.
And I don't understand. And maybe it's just because I'm a little different. I try to be respectful of the environment that I'm in, of the situation that I'm in. People often say, well, you seem like you're too easygoing.
I get blamed that a lot.
I can tell you with certainty that when I need to, I can.
Yeah.
But I try not to. You know, even shit, fighting with the wife. I'm a lot nicer to her than she is to me when we fight. But I'm not trying to win any points. I'm just trying to make things comfortable, not just with the fight with the wife, but, you know, in general. Yeah. And when people get and they're immediately assholes, like, come on.
Yeah.
Which is why we've kind of made our little mantra. Don't be a dickhead. You know, go ahead.
My favorite thing when I was driving cab was when you'd go to pick somebody up and they would get in the car and they'd be pissed off at the world. And they would be taking it out on me, whatever it was. And I would stop the car and I would pull it over because I don't deserve it.
Yeah,
and that's when I turn around to the person and I'd be like, look, I understand you're having a shitty day.
I'm not the reason for it.
Yeah, but did I cause it? Did I do something to offend you?
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep that in mind when you get in my cab. You know, I didn't do it to you.
Right.
You can be pissed off. I don't care. But don't take it out on me.
You can vent at me.
Yeah. But remember, I didn't do it.
Right.
I wasn't the cause of whatever pissed you off.
I always find it, not just, you know, just in general life, how people can just automatically be a dick. Like, you get people who are just fucking rude.
Yeah.
And you've never experienced this person in your life, and they just come across, and you're like, what did you get from that? Like, did that make you feel better to be an ass to me?
Right.
It's
funny that this came up because on the way over here, I stopped at the convenience store and I got my drink. I'm walking around and I walked right past the cashier to go look at something else on the other side of the store. Cashier goes, I'll take you right here, sir. And I was like, no, you won't.
Not done yet.
What made you think I was done? You know, and I kept walking and looking for stuff and I found something else that I wanted. I walked up to the register and he goes, why do you have to be rude? And I was like, I wasn't being the one being rude. You were the one being rude. And he goes, how was I rude? And I was like, assuming that I was done.
Right. I'll step up when it's time.
You were walking around like you were lost. I was like, no, I knew what I was doing. If I was done, I would have walked up to your register. I think you need to redefine the definition of rude. because that was rude.
I'm telling you. I think that is the perfect. That's what's wrong with us today. You know, first and foremost, we were always taught when we were kids, right, never under any circumstances get in the car with a stranger.
And now we do it.
And today we do it on a regular basis without even thinking about it. But I think more importantly than just getting in cars with strangers is, you know, it pays to just take a breath and be nice. You know, you don't have to be kiss everybody's ass.
You could be having the shittiest day, mm-hmm, but it like I said about my situation is whoever you're running into now, like I was having a shitty day, mm-hmm, before I ran into the cashier. And that's why he got what he got, because I was, you
right,
know, if you would have just left me alone, he would have been treated just with the respect that I would, mm-hmm, expect. You know, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, this is my stuff. Let's get this over with.
Right.
You know? But no, he's like, I'll take you right here. And I'm like, I wasn't done, motherfucker. Yeah.
Not finished yet.
What are you trying to say, man? You know, but just stop for a second, like you said, and the person that you're dealing with at that moment, don't be a dickhead to them, mm-hmm, you know?
There's a shirt that's all over TikTok right now, or a hoodie. And I don't remember what it says on the front, and then I don't have the exact wording, but on the back it says, to the person behind me, you matter.
Mm-hmm.
And something to that effect. And sure, it seems sappy, but if we all treated each other,
yeah,
like they matter, I can't imagine. Like,
yeah, that
you were telling me just before we started this about somebody that you're close with who believes that we all have to think the exact same way and we all have to feel a particular way about everything.
Yeah. We had the discussion, this person that I'm talking about, we had the discussion about everybody has the right to their own opinion and we don't have to agree on, mm-hmm, it. And this person was like, no, we all have to agree. We all have to have the same beliefs. And I'm like, oh, that's the only way things are going to get better, as long as we all think the same way. And I'm like, no. That's not how this works.
That's communism.
Well, we're individual human beings. You know, we're all going to have a different point of view of things.
If we all had the same opinion and thought the same way, this world would be absolutely boring.
Right.
I don't know that I'd want to be here.
I mean, what you're describing is Shangri-La.
Yeah.
And that, I don't think even there that people agree on everything. But I can be sensible and nice about not agreeing with what you're saying.
Right.
I can do that.
If
you can do that,
yeah,
too.
If we all just respected that we're individuals, we have different opinions, and we are all, this is such an oxymoron, but every single one of us is unique, just like the other one. And if we could all just understand that and respect it, God, it would go such a long way. Instead, we have to make up mantras like, don't be a dickhead.
Which shouldn't have to be said. Which,
yeah. There's a guy on TikTok, and I'm going to get myself in trouble with a few of our listeners, and that's okay. But he's from, I think he lives in Colorado Springs area, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember his name, but he's always giving these anecdotes of common sense, but Jesus, they usually don't turn out the right way. And he has his own little catchphrase. It's the GFC. And it's got this, you know, the GFC is like on his hats, and it's got the little stick figure that's humping the G, I think.
Mm, yeah.
And it's get fucked.
Yeah.
What, you know.
GFK. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
get fucked, Karen. Yeah.
Well, he's changed it to the C, but yeah, same thing. And it's too bad that we have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. But, you know, don't be a dickhead. And if you're going to be, then get fucked.
Yeah, right.
We don't need you.
Eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah, eat it. I'm telling you, I think there's a market for this. I've seen it attempted, but I don't think it's been marketed correctly. If we had the gummy molds.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
We could sell bags of dicks.
I think we should do it.
I think we should look into it at least. I don't know. It's just... These are the kinds of conversations that come up in the midweek tugs, but these are a look at our lives because these are conversations we have.
Yeah, all the time.
And now you're a part of them.
We just, yeah, expensive microphones, and now yeah. we're telling you all.
Now we just, you're eavesdroppers. It's like voyeurs for your ears.
Yeah, wow, that was a good one.
Thank you. Voyeurs for your ears. I'm sure we could come up with something great for that. Hey, make sure to like the episode on your favorite listening platform. Share it with your friends. We need more help. We need people to listen more. We've got some interesting numbers, that's for sure. Yeah. Our retention rate right now is 86%.
That's pretty damn good.
I'm saying that's pretty decent all the way around. I like it. I like it a lot. We have 5,000 unique listens, which is huge for guys like us.
I think we just came closer or just hit 5,200.
I think we're real close to it, yeah. 5,200 unique listens. That's fascinating. I don't know why, but it is.
It's to us. We're happy.
Hey, we're all over the social media markets. We've got a web page. It's just theunrefinedguys.com. We've got a sponsor and Ravencrest Tactical. They're running a special, so we're not using our tugs. But if you'll go to our website, theunrefinedguys.com, go to the contact us page and then click the link there and use the discount code that they provide gives a bigger discount.
Yes.
So you want to use that. Just go to it from our website. And the Ravencrest Tactical Knives, all kinds of great knives, made in America, guaranteed for life. You can't get a better quality knife than
this.
No,
they're badass.
And they're patriots. They're made in America, so it's even gooder.
Yes.
What am I missing? You could become a member, get exclusive access to content that others don't get. Go over to patreon.podbean.com/understand. I feel like I'm popping my peas.
You are.
Pisser. Yeah. patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained until next time, which is going to be Friday.
Friday.
Thank you for joining our midweek tug, and we will see you next time. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
Have a great week.
You want an honest man, but you don't understand. I won't be here when you wake up again.